if, for example, and this has nothing to do with politics, if we, as a child, as a three-year-old, were bitten by a dog, we might have a lifelong fear of dogs. That's how bias works. Bias is not in itself bad. It's a very important tool in our tool belt. But we have to know when and when not to use it. Bias kept us alive for millions of years. When we saw our friend got eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, that part in our amygdala would kick in and says, don't go by saber-toothed tigers, they will eat you. That's bias protecting you. So it's not a bad thing. We just have to understand when it's kicking in and it doesn't need to be kicking in. And we are clearly hardwired to prefer those who look, sound, and share similar. And I've tried at the end to give you all the references that I used on this. Okay, let's talk quickly about how we make decisions, the biology of decision making. So your brain up here in front, that controls, you know, your thought processes. That's where you do addition, subtraction, and everything like that. But you see the green part, right? That's the lizard brain, actually looks like a lizard. That's what's constantly trying to take over and protect you all the time. Let me show you, give you a great example how that works. Let's say you're going at a baseball game. You're along the right field line. Here comes a line drive heading towards your help. Well, the front of your brain saying, my goodness, there's a sphere heading in my direction. It has a certain amount of mass, and it has a certain amount of speed. I wonder if it could, meanwhile, lizard kicks in and says, duck! And that's what you do, because when lizard kicks in, you obey lizard. Now, it's interesting to note that all advertisers aim for the lizard brain. They want to stroke that something in you, whether that's passion, fear, sex, whatever it is. There's a reason why Sam Elliott is a spokesman for Ram Tough Trucks. Because if you buy a Ram Tough Truck, you're going to be Sam Elliott, right? They don't have somebody that's not Ram Tough talking about Ram Tough Trucks. They want to inspire that. They want to get the beautiful women to show you, if you use this makeup, you'll be as beautiful as I am. All right, so the psychology, the world's complex. So we use every day, 80% of our decisions depend on heuristics. Heuristics are those mental shortcuts we take every day for decisions that we already know when the world is complex and we want to know. Ma'am, you're sitting in the front row. Can I ask your name?
Sophie,
if you had 3 hours, 3 hours, you had to go out and buy a new car today, what would you buy?
Black sports car.
And why? Do you have one?
I have.
See, she bought exactly. She likes, knows what she likes. She doesn't have a lot of time to get out consumer reports. I could do that 100 times and everybody would say, I'll buy a Tahoe. Why? Do you have one? Yeah, I have a Tahoe. So they'll just say, look, I've got 3 hours. I'm going to get what I like. And that's what I already have. That's a heuristic decision. When you go to, Cheesecake Factory, and they have the 50-page menu. Are you going to look through 50 pages? No, you're going to go, I'll have a tuna sandwich. Because that's, I don't have time to look through a 50-page menu. So that's how we do those mental shortcuts, make quick decisions. So relying on a brand name, that's what we do. If we're going to have an hour to buy a new phone and we like our iPhone, we're going to go buy a new iPhone. All right. And the variables are how we frame the problem in our own mind. How you see a problem really controls on how you're going to make that decision. If, for example, let's say we're in trial. We've already had a Daubert motion, and the judge has, like most Daubert motions, overruled and said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and let that expert testify. Now, you're in a jury trial. The judge loves you. The jury loves you and everything. And you know that if you try to put on that expert, you're going to perhaps bake in an appellate point of error. You're probably not, if you don't really need that expert, you're going to avoid taking that risk because everything's going great. If you think you're losing, you're going to throw that expert on. You're going to throw that expert's brother-in-law on. Anything you can to build up your appellate record because you think you're losing. So we don't take risks when we think we're winning. We take risks at trial when we think we're losing. Framing the problem in the other's mind. And I got to tell you, that's a wonderful. How many of you have heard of the car crash video? They had a same exact video of cars crashing at an intersection, and they took like 7 different focus groups, and they used different verbs. And they said, make a decision as a group, how fast were these cars going when they crashed, right? Well, the group that had the car crashing said they were going, 29 miles an hour. Then they softened the verb, and the final group got, how fast were these cars going when the bumpers touched? They were only going 14 miles an hour. Same exact video, but how you framed it. Now, for those of you who know Dan Ciano, wonderful trial lawyer, I gave a speech, a CLE speech on another topic down in San Antonio, but he gave me a great example to use this. He said he had this big, huge case where there was a death case because people pulled over on the side of the highway to take, you know, a little break, you know, on the shoulder of the road. And he said, every time I focused that group and I called it the improved shoulder of the road that I pulled over, I lost in the focus group. I changed and I didn't call it the shoulder anymore. I called it the emergency lane and I won.